If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
This president is doing exactly that. In fact, he's the only thing that stands between a mob and the American people. You know, first it's the statues, then it's the businesses, then it's their homes. You know, sadly, we have a loss of life, and yet this president is willing, and not only willing, but has already put forth federal resources to make sure that we can restore law and order.
That's great, and I love that sentiment. And my name is Dana Lash, and welcome to the show. I am the real-life Daria today. I'm going to warn you, if you are watching Unofficial Dana Lash on Facebook. Yes, this is my jam today. This is a peek inside my head.
Excuse me.
Or if you're watching on YouTube or Channel 248 Pluto TV. I'm Daria. We have a damn spider somewhere loose in the lighting rig of the studio. And I'm going to just caution you guys now. I'm not afraid of anything, okay? I'm not afraid of, you know, riots. I'm not afraid of mobs. There's not many things I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of snakes. My one son has a pet scorpion. We are that family. There's one thing that I just cannot abide by, and it's tiny things with a lot of attitude. It includes certain small children and old spiders. And Kane made the mention, literally, as the lights are flashing, as we're getting ready to go on air.
Observation.
There's a spider web in here. What is this? This spider web?
Why do I have to sound like I have an embolism or something? What is that, about?
Because I'm making a clear distinction. It's difficult to do your voice.
I get it.
And he's like, there's a spider web in here. And he's like batting at the air like a kitten. And he's like, it probably just appeared in here because, you know, as webs are wont to do, they just magically apparate into the physical world. They come from a spider's backside. That means there is a spider somewhere in the lighting rig. And I promise you, my ability to do a professional show is going to be tested if I so much as see a leg. I will lose my ever-loving mind. I will forget where we are. You're talking to someone who once ran her Geo Metro off the road and nearly flipped it because there was a spider stuck on the inside windshield.
Funny part of that story is you drove a Metro.
I did. I had to punch my feet through the floor of the car to get it going to an acceptable speed, the height of which was only 60 miles per hour. Certain death. I mean, it's amazing that I'm alive today. So long story short, if all of a sudden in the middle of an informed and intelligent discussion, all hell breaks loose, you know what has happened. Just preparing you now because there is an eventuality that is going to happen at some point. All right, so as we continue on with whatever the hell this is in the United States, several things. First off, that was Mark Meadows, and I do agree with him on this. I agree with Mark Meadows, and I think everyone who disagrees with this sentiment is wrong. Wrong. Everyone's wrong. They're wrong. Not just because I say so, because they are. So, 2 things. I have actually a lot, but right off the bat, the Supreme Court today, because, you know, the Supreme Court season. It's actually one of my favorite seasons. I love the news entities that are all standing outside in the heat, because it's hot out there. And you're standing on that white marble. Marble travertine? What the hell is it that they got out there? Supreme Court. Some kind of stone. Do I look like a geologist? No. And they send out these runners for these news outlets. So when a decision comes down, all these college kids, they have to race each other to get the decision out to the networks so that someone can be first, right? And it every year there's like a picture. It's like watching the watering hole on Nat Geo. You're watching a watering hole somewhere in the Serengeti, and you see all the animals by the watering hole, and then everybody freaks out, and there's just mass sprinting. That's what it's like when a Supreme Court decision comes down, and they run these towards all the media. So the Little Sisters of the Poor finally scored a victory after all this time. Now, you remember, during the years of the Obama era, the nuns spent a good, significant portion of their lives battling against the contraceptive mandate. And a lot of people who don't know what the hell contraception is were so excited to be part of the argument. And a lot of people who do not know what is required by insurance and what is not were also very eager to be part of the conversation. Because that is one thing that is not just distinctly American, it is distinctly progressive. You may not know what the hell you're talking about, but by God, you're going to talk about it. That's kind of how it is. Don't send me hate mail. So, the Affordable Care Act, remember, everyone was saying, well, the Little Sisters of the Poor, they need to provide birth control. They're nuns. Just going to lay that out on the table. And also, if you're going to work somewhere and birth control is a requirement for you, maybe don't work for nuns. How dare you say something so commonsensical, Dana? Don't you know the world is anti-commonsensical and also a vampire?
How dare you?
Really? I'm quoting a little bit of Smashing Pumpkins. But so they went back and forth, back and forth. So the ruling is that they cannot be forced to take part in providing cost-free contraceptives to employees. And the court finds that the Trump administration's regulatory solution for the nuns was properly done. Justice Thomas writes for the majority, and those who wrote for the dissent, Justice Ginsburg and Sotomayor. So that is right. And people keep saying birth control is health care. Here's the funny thing about birth control. And those people who have vaginas know about this, whereas those who don't do not. You could, it's scientific. We have them. Get over it. Okay. The instance that it can be used in healthcare, and this is already covered by insurance, thus it's already protected, is if you are using it to treat endometriosis, etc. There are a number of uses that birth control can be used for beyond recreational as a way to prevent pregnancy through recreational copulation. And that's already covered. So this is a deceptive argument. The goal wasn't to accomplish something that already existed, namely to get insurance companies to cover something that is already covered by insurance. It was just to get it for free. It was an in run around getting everyone to pay for what you choose to do on your private time. Okay. And it's incredibly cheap because you can go to Target and get it. You can go to Costco and get it. There's a number of places that you can go. The argument was that you are denied access to health care if someone else isn't paying for it for you. That is the argument. This is a kind of a Mott Bailey sort of a situation, but that was the argument. And so Planned Parenthood immediately was out being barely literate. They tweeted, quote, pay attention. A Supreme Court just ruled that your boss or your university can, based on their own objections, take away your birth control coverage. Okay, Karens, let's hit heads up. This is not the way that it works. If you were using it for an actual non-recreational but health issue, it is covered. That is something already covered with health insurance. We went down this road six ways to Sunday where it concerned Hobby Lobby because a lot of people were desperate for a career in selling craft materials, but also demanded to have all of their recreational activities paid for by their employer, which I think is a bunch of steaming hot coil of feces. It's exactly what it is. I'm going to have a discussion about this mortal coil that perfectly encapsulates the current situation of humanity right now. And as of such, the argument went away because it was silly. So they're not rolling back birth control coverage. Being the expectation that you should pay for your own coverage when it is not healthcare related, when it is recreational, that is not rolling back coverage. That means we're trusting you ladies to be the truly empowered women that you always claim that you are. And truly empowered women can pay their own bills. Correct? Of course I'm correct. That's a rhetorical device. So that was good news today. Additionally, the Trump administration is threatening funding in states where they aren't so keen to reopen schools. So in my state, in Texas, they are trying to say, oh, well, maybe we are going to consider masks for everyone returning to school. And I'm thinking, really, even the elementary children, have you ever seen a child? Do you know how children behave? Expecting little kids, particularly, and this goes against the American Academy of Pediatrics, expecting them to wear face masks is a great way to get people to touch their feet over and over again. It's amazing. That's exactly what's going to happen. And so the president is, he ripped the CDC. He didn't rip the CDC. Can we stop with these headlines? He disagreed with part of what they had said. He ripped. How sad are you? Gosh, dang. So he said that he disagreed with them. That's not ripped. He literally said he disagrees with them. He says, we want the schools open. I will be meeting with them, you know, open them smartly, but open them nonetheless. All healthcare experts are saying the same thing. He and Betsy DeVos were discussing this. And I completely agree with this. Enough. It's about time. It's about time. We got an audio soundbite 11. This is what he said when he was speaking to the press.
Now it's time to be open. It's time to stay open. And we will put out the fires as they come up. But we have to open our schools. It's so important to open our schools. And what you said, from a psychological standpoint, with respect to staying home any longer, you can't do it. You can't do it. That has great dangers also.
It does. If you don't believe so, come to my house where I'm about to strangle my children. And he says in audio soundbite 12 that some of the pressure is going to be on the governors because it's about time that they open these schools. And I agree because you're also looking at the psychological and emotional health of the students. Listen.
We hope that most schools are going to be open. We don't want people to make political statements for political reasons. I think it's going to be good for them politically, so they keep the schools closed. No way. So we're very much going to put pressure on the governors and everybody else.
Sounds bad. But it basically says they're putting pressure on. Why does that sound as strong as
ultra compressed
Chaz reasoning? It's so bad. Also, I have an update, too. We're going to get into it. If those of you who got really excited at the prospect of thinking anyone could paint on the roads, you're wrong. So there were a group of people who painted Black Lives Matter on the road. And apparently the city was like, hey, that's cool. And then some people were painting over it. And the city's like, hey, that isn't cool. Also, FYI, we're charging you with a hate crime.
What?
A hate crime. Hate crime.
Okay.
I thought that mural, I was like ready to go and paint everywhere.
Right.
I can't draw for it to save my life, but I mean, I was ready to like paint some stick people at least out on the roads and stuff, right? I was super excited about this. I was like, yay, it's vandalism. Yay, sanctioned. But then the city was like, no, it's actually not. It's unequal vandalism. You don't get to vandalize anything. Someone kept telling me it was city sanctioned. I'm sorry. If somebody in my city told me that, buckle the hell up. Mama Dana is going to be up at City Hall. Oh, really? Because my tax dollars, an inordinate amount of them, go towards this road. I don't recall being asked to have my property vandalized. I mean, if people can paint on my property, then I can paint on my property, right? What did I tell you? I go where my money goes. It's the Catalina wine mixer, right? So we're going to discuss this coming up. We're also going to discuss how the Paycheck Protection Program data is making Joe Biden's life a living hell. And this is why they are intent on focusing on the people who took money, which is a problem. But they're ignoring the good that the program had done. We're going to discuss that. We have a crazy councilwoman threatening Jeff Bezos. The left doesn't care about free speech. Are we in the Thermidorian reactionary period? Because I tend to think so. If you haven't tried Superbeet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Superbeet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Superbeets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Superbeet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5, brought to you by Caltech.
6 movie theater chains, including AMC, Cinemark, and Regal, file a lawsuit against New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, claiming a First Amendment right to reopen their locations during the coronavirus pandemic, and also quit being a stooge, a boring stooge. Hotels in New York City, an investigation found that some of them failed to adequately clean rooms between guests, confirming my lifelong suspicions, thereby solidifying my germophobia. They said that, Inside Edition said that that's not the case anywhere, of course, but no one heard that last sentence. They just think it's everywhere. Also, penguins can fire their feces over 4 feet. You really needed to know that. New York Post says, oh yes, penguins have a talent. They can fling feces incredibly far. Ars Technia noted this. They studied penguins back in 2003, and they looked at the pressurized, well, expelling of that. There's no other way to do that. I might kill a spider on break. Stay with us.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or The First, Channel 248 on Pluto TV.
I played this last night, and the thing that got me, Chris, is they were painting over Black Lives Matter letters in black. So we'd still be able to see because they were painting over the black letters. So they were actually, in a weird way, helping with the art there. Black Lives Matter, black paint.
I just don't even care. I really don't. That's Don Lemon. I don't dislike Don. I mean, I get along with him in person. Oh, you don't dislike him?
I like him. Yeah.
The reason that I don't dislike him isn't because we have the same agent. It's because when he's off camera, he can be a lot nicer than when he's on camera. I think some people kind of play up the divisive parts of their attitude.
Yeah,
I do.
That's why I don't like him.
Yeah.
Because he plays up that part of it.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook, danalash.com. My latest book, Grace Cancels. It's hard enough to hit people with. And spider update. Steve is mulling over a name. Kane has already picked out a name, and it's gotten level ridiculous.
What? Webster, I think, is great. Webster.
I liked my Shooty McBlankoff face.
Yeah, we can't say that.
The name. I liked that name. No, I know that, but you know, Webster makes it seem adorable, and we all know that it's not.
It's pretty adorable.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, we haven't seen it, but
you're a millennial now.
We've only seen the web.
I'm not calling you Gen X anymore. You don't deserve the title.
So millennial?
Taking it away. You're not cynical and hateful enough. Especially today, Kane.
As old as you feel, I guess.
Gosh dang, you're too optimistic and too like, let's name the spiders. Take it back.
That was your suggestion.
I didn't suggest
it.
Steve suggested it, and I repeated it.
I just came up with a name.
I just repeated it. All I know is if somebody asked me, like, what's a good caliber for spiders? And I'm like, I don't know, 7.62? I mean, 308? I don't know. Like, some bird shot's pretty good, too, though.
50 cal,
I mean, it's not exactly accurate. But, you know, it gets to the general area of it. So if all hell breaks loose, just so you know, that's what happens. If I just like lose it, because nothing scares me but spiders. I mean, quite literally nothing scares me but spiders.
Really?
And crickets.
Crickets?
I don't like tiny things that jump real high.
What? Okay.
It's weird.
Did you want my millennial spider name?
Go ahead. Just kill us all. Go ahead.
Zaddy Long Legs.
Oh my gosh.
Did he say Zaddy Long Legs?
He did say Zaddy Long Legs. So it's sort of like a big band spider.
Right.
You know? Has a brass section.
Each leg plays an instrument.
Exactly. All right, so you guys figure out what you want to name it, because it's life ain't long for this world if
That's
I see it. So just, you know. All right, so, and yes, on Twitter, just to clarify, Steve is DJ Steve Jones, and he is the SoundCloud artist, not the spider.
Right.
All right, so we were coming in with Don Lemon talking about these people painting on the roads. I actually was very excited about the case to just be able to just indiscriminately paint on everything. Like, just treat my community like a giant paper covered table at a restaurant, right? And I'm the toddler. Give me some crayons, because it's kind of what this is. So these people painted over it, and this is in Martinez, California. Oh, it gets dumber. Oh, if you, everything is about to get a hell of a lot dumber. So just wait for it. So the Contra Costa County District Attorney's Office released a statement yesterday saying, lo, they are bringing charges against Nicole Anderson and David Nelson for painting, for vandalizing the vandalism. What? How dare you vandalize the vandalism? But they were literally hit, not literally, figuratively, with three separate charges. A violation of civil rights. Vandalism under $400. Oh, and also possession of tools to commit the vandalism. They could actually face a year in jail if they're convicted.
What's civil right, though? What's civil right? I'm just curious.
The right to vandalize stuff.
Oh, is that what it is?
Gosh.
Wasn't aware of that one.
You racist. If you can't just, like, paint on whatever you want to paint on, that's racism. Mm. You didn't know that?
No idea.
It's the new normal. Right? Just like...
Is it?
Yeah. It's totally... Just like not giving every woman you see immediately a bottle of her preferred wine is sexist. I'm just saying. So, both Nelson and Anderson and Nelson were hit with these charges. And they said, Martinez police chief, so he's selected by the Democrat mayor. They're like, we were really excited about the mural in the street. We thought that by allowing people to paint the mural, they would forget about all the black people we shot. Wait a minute, that's not what he said. Wait a second. That's not what he said. That is not a real quote. Calm your britches. Although you kind of have to wonder. He is a Democrat. So if there was going to be an office, it was just going to be indiscriminately shooting people. Just saying. I'm just speculating. So I'm waiting for the spider to come down. So Martinez police chief, he said that the community spent a considerable amount of time vandalizing the road. He said painting the mural together. Only to have it vandalized. Actually, he said only to have it painted over in a hateful and senseless manner. Okay. Still, I don't care whether or not, I don't care how lovingly everybody did it. Technically, it's still vandalism. And yes, you can say that the people who painted over the vandalism vandalized the vandalism. So everyone's a vandal. If everyone's a vandal, no one is. See? It's the Incredibles logic. And I mean, what Martinez forgot to say is that these two people, by vandalizing the vandalism, all the racism came back when they did that. Because when you painted Black Lives Matter on the road,
went away.
Yeah. It totally went away.
Oh.
Yeah. It went away completely. Thoughts?
So painting over what eliminated racism, obviously putting Black Lives Matter on the street in paint stopped racism. And what you're saying is somebody painting over that invited racism back.
Mm-hmm. It brought it back.
I see.
Yeah. So painting that on the road closed the door to that realm where the racism came from. It's like the Avengers when Loki opened up the sky portal and these like weird things came through. That's exactly what happened with this. When, by painting Black Lives Matter on the street, it closed this invisible portal to this other dimension. And then these people, when they painted over it, well, can you feel it? The racism's back. It all came back. It's all there again. Just like, stay very still. You can feel it almost. It's almost tangible. Feel it? It's the racism. You feel it? See? It's back. It's all back now. Because these people vandalized the vandalism. You damn white people. Why'd you have to do that? You should be. It's America. You can paint whatever you want, wherever you want. Wait, what? Wait, sorry, stop the music. I'm sorry, what?
Not really, though.
But yeah.
No.
I was told that I was reliably informed that you could.
But obviously, with the reaction of painting on the street just recently, that's not true. Because you just can't paint whatever you want anywhere.
But they did.
Yeah, they did.
The other people did.
But you can't paint over that.
Why?
Because that's not, I guess, polite.
Well, they could do it.
Yeah, that's true.
The people who painted the yellow letters could.
I think it would be double plus ungood.
Oh.
That's why.
No one wants a visit from ThinkPole.
Right.
Mm. So speaking of crazy, man, Seattle. So did you guys check out, I gotta play this video. This is Seattle City Councilwoman Kashama Sawant, and she decided to lose her ever-loving mind in a video against Jeff Bezos. Sidebar, totally here for a moment. So I needed to find some glasses, like actual drinking glasses, because we've broken so many. We've had like three left over like the span of 10 years, mind you. So I am hellbent on not purchasing anything from China to the extent that I will research where my drinking glasses come from for hours. And I learned all about the Anchor Hocking Company and glass production in Pennsylvania pre-1990. It's amazing, the things I've learned. But I did finally get some glassware that was not made in China. I am livid at the amount of time that I had to look for it. And I did purchase it through Amazon. I did. Yeah, you're right, I did. But it's made in the USA and it goes to a USA company with American workers. Was it more expensive? Actually, not as much as I thought it would be. But I'm pleased. So I'm pleased. I was happy with it. Anyway, long story short, back to my story. Kashama Sawant is mad at Jeff Bezos, through whose company I ordered my Made in the USA drinking glasses. And she says that we're coming for you in this totally not at all unhinged rant. Listen.
I have a message for Jeff Bezos and his class. If you attempt again to overturn the Amazon tax, working people will go all out in the thousands to defeat you.
We will.
And we will not stop there. Because you see, we are fighting for far more than this tax. We are preparing the ground for a different kind of society. And if you, Jeff Bezos, want to drive that process forward by lashing out against us in our modest demands, then so be it. Because we are coming for you and your rotten system.
We're gonna get you.
We are coming to dismantle this deeply oppressive, racist, sexist, violent, utterly bankrupt system of capitalism.
What is bankrupt about the system of capitalism?
We cannot and will not stop until we overthrow it.
I can't even deal with this chick no more. Let me be real with you. I needed meringue powder one day. Guess whose store didn't have no meringue powder? All the stores that Dana's by, guess where Dana got meringue powder? Amazon. Guess where Dana got her Made in the USA glasses? Amazon. I'm not hating. Everybody's like, oh, you know, they donate to leftists. They donate to some Republicans, too. But if you have, like, you know, depending on your cell phone service, you're donating more than I would ever purchase through Amazon anyway every month just through your cell phone bill, which is why you need to switch to Patriot Mobile. Anyway, but my whole point is that she seems nuts. And also, that is no way that you're going to convince anyone. If someone's like, we're coming for you, I'm not going to go, I suddenly agree with you. In fact, I'm going to quadruple down before I even double down. I'm going to put all the downs down. So it's going to happen. I think that's crazy. Wasn't she one of the people who was in Chaz Chop?
Was she?
I think she was one of the, because there was like one of the city council members that, and the mayor, what's her name? Mayor Jenny Summer Olove?
Yeah, Summer Olove.
She was dismayed because she like protested against the mayor or something. And they were like, aren't we all supposed to be friends? I guess you haven't been paying attention to history because revolutionaries always literally snuff out their own. Like, literally.
Yeah, so. Nothing says cooperation like we're coming after
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we're coming at you because of the capitalism. Golly. So sane up there in Seattle. So sane. So this, I have a couple of other things as well, including coming up. This was one of the left does not give literally any care at all in the world about free speech. They don't care. They don't care about free speech. Fascinating thing was happening, and it happened earlier in the day, but it really took off after we were off radio. Harper's Magazine published a letter on justice and open debate. And the names that were on the list included Wynton Marsalis, Noam Chomsky, everybody, Noam Chomsky, J.K. Rowling, Margaret Atwood, Salman Rushdie, a bunch of other people. And they were, the letter was only saying, look, our cultural institutions are facing a moment of trial. And they say powerful protest for, and of course they hit the right in the opening graph, but this is most important, and you need to pay. Ignore the first offense. Ignore the offense in the first graph. I'm telling you, here's why. They say resistance must not be allowed to harden into its own brand of dogma or coercion. The democratic inclusion we want can be achieved only if we speak out against the intolerant climate that has set in. And they talk about the cancel culture. They say it's a stifling atmosphere that's going to harm the most vital causes of our time. And all these people signed it. Well, then the rage mob decided to go by Torches and Pitchforks or Us for, again, curbside pickup. And then they went after all of the people who had their names on this list. And some of them immediately started buckling. Like, oh, I didn't realize the other people whose names were on this list. Like, somehow free speech has less significance because someone that may be a little bit more right-leaning than you are had their name, they were a signatory, and that somehow changes the meaning for you. So you're a poser. Is that what you're telling me?
Pretty much.
Jennifer Finney. Is that what you're telling me?
Yep.
So they, it was amazing how they started, these people started, some of them, not all of them, started walking back. I never thought that, like some of these names on here, 2020, I did not have this on my bingo card, where I would be actually defending some of the names on this list. Did I get bit by that damn spider already?
I don't,
or?
I don't think so.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't hallucinating. We're going to talk more about that coming up. We're also going to get into, you know, Drew Brees, he defended the flag and the anthem, and then he had to apologize twice. And then that one college coach had to apologize 11 million times because he wore a T-shirt. But hey, if you just say some anti-Semitic stuff anti-Semitically and quote Hitler, then you're just going to get a talking to and it's okay. You know, because, yeah. So we'll discuss that because that's a bunch of bull. And also the Veep sweepstakes and then the Tammy Duckworth fight, because apparently, just FYI, there's nothing to inoculate a member of Congress from deserved criticism over the absolutely crackpot support of removing Washington statues. It's crackpottery. Let you know. And why does Tommy Tuberville have me blocked?
What?
Yeah. He's got me. I don't know. I like literally had not ever heard of him until I read an article a couple of weeks ago about him. And then I was like, what? And he had me blocked. I'm blocked.
Why are you blocked?
I don't know. Why block me? So we'll discuss all of that and more.
It's the Dana Show.
I remember the good old days when having a bad summer just meant you sat in poison ivy. In 2020, itchy ass is your best case scenario. Remember that movie? I Know What You Did Last Summer?
So
they should make one about this summer.
Bored.
Only this time, the killer is the one not wearing the mask.
Oh, gosh, that was read from the prompter so good it almost sounded natural. Oh, burn. Oh, gosh, this is the dorkiest damn thing I've heard. Nobody asked you. We have more time coming up where we can make fun of people and Dari out. And you don't want to miss a single second of it. Let's fellowship and be mean together. Back after this.
This segment of the Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at KelTecWeapons.com.
A very serious issue across the country. Kids have got to continue learning. Schools have got to open up. There has got to be concerted effort to address the needs of all kids, and adults who are fear-mongering and making excuses simply have got to stop doing it and turn their attention on what is right for students and for their families.
That's Betsy DeVos. She's absolutely right. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. At Dana Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook, channel 248, Pluto TV via the first, DanaLash.com. Yeah, she's absolutely right. Quit fear-mongering. We're having this big discussion right now in Texas. They sent out this thing. I have it up here. Let me pull it up for you. Where they were wondering, or they were discussing, okay, well, you know, we think we might have kids wear masks. And no. You know what's going to happen? My youngest is going to set his on fire behind the bleachers. Not even exaggerating. My youngest, you want to talk about being punk rock, my youngest will do that. My oldest would be very diplomatic about it, and my youngest is like, to hell with that. Not happening. And he's very dry, and he speaks like this, and he has no expression on his face ever. And so when he's talking to you, if you don't know him, you for a second wonder if you're being insulted without your being aware of it. And then he gets used to you. It takes him a long time to get used to people. But he just, it's pretty interesting. He's a very interesting young man. But he will not, because I mentioned it to him at dinner and he said, well, I'll set it on fire before I wear it. Now, I get, you know, if you're going out and all that stuff, I told you about how I feel about cloth masks. I do make a difference. I will make a carve out for the cloth masks that have the filtration that you can put inside. Although I haven't seen studies on those. Have you guys? Because the ones I've seen have been on cloth masks, surgical masks, and N95s. Right. If I'm going someplace where I think you're dirty or people who are dirty will be there pretty much anywhere, I'm already a germaphobe. I have been like this since before this pandemic got here, which is why I have always had masks and gloves and all of that. But, you know, and I get it, and I told my kids too, I'm like, if a small business is mandating the mask, I'm not going to demand that the business make the cake because I'm consistent. Just like we're not the left. We're not going to be going in there like, oh, I'm not going to wear this mask. Change it now. Break the cake, bigot. I'm not going to do that. It's the same thing. Mask, cake, it's the same variable. The equation is the same. But when the governor or the state comes out and they're like, we would like for you all to wear masks, that's when my hand goes up. And the schools are saying, well, I think we might have kids wear masks. And I'm thinking, have you met a child? Have you met them? They can't stop touching their face. And when you tell them not to, it's suddenly the most attractive thing in the world. Nothing would please them more than to touch their face constantly. Basically, the masks are just going to be face diapers that lock in all the germs. That's all it's going to be. It's just, we're going to, again, you have to adapt and continue on. I have a post up at DanaLash.com where I get into how it is not a protest. It's a revolution. It absolutely is. It's not a protest. It is a revolution. And I start off with something I've discussed with you guys too, how I think that the best distillation of this whole moment was when Lindsey Graham was asking Brett Kavanaugh, and he was spitting out these questions. He wasn't questioning Kavanaugh. He was making a condemnation of the smear in the form of this, just repeating this question, where he would go, are you a gang rapist? And he said, you know, boy, you all want power. I hope you never get it. And I thought that was just the perfect, that represents everything happening right now in America for the sake of power. The pandemic, the lockdowns, the accusations, the investigations, the cancel culture, everything, all of it. Because whatever happens, the end is always justified by the means. That's the one consistency that the left has practiced for forever. It's a revolution. And they've been telling you this for quite some time, but yet there are a lot of people who don't believe it. I discussed this in the newsletter that I sent out last night, chock full of information. If you haven't signed up for it, I send them out rarely, but you get them. DanaLash.com. Yesterday, Representative Ilhan Omar, and we played it on air, called for an overthrow of the United States government, and that's exactly what she was calling for. When you say that you want to dismantle our economic and political system, then that's what you're calling for. That's our system. And I've seen some people try to delegitimize criticism of her remarks by casting it as simple free speech, which would be a perfectly reasonable rebuttal were she not a member of government and a member who takes an oath of office to uphold the Constitution that she's targeting with her economy and political system rhetoric. She says, we cannot stop at the criminal justice system. We must begin the work of dismantling the whole system of oppression wherever we find it. Like I said, it's not a protest, it's a revolution. And that sounds, that right there, you absolutely are talking about completely dismantled. That's what it is. It's an overthrow. And it's also incredibly ironic. I tweeted this last night. Twitchy had reported via the New York Post, Representative Ilhan Omar has paid her husband's consulting firm $878,000 in the last 2 years. By the way, that is her new husband. Her, not her second one. This is her third one, right? Yeah. Not the guy that she did the tax stuff with. This is the guy that she's accused of being a homewrecker with. Right? And that's what the wife had said. That's what the wife had said in court. Well, the wife of the guy that, who's now her husband. It's very confusing. But she's given him a lot of money. So then you had, we played this last hour, the Marxist Seattle city councilwoman who threatened Jeff Bezos and pledged to overthrow capitalism by saying that we are coming for you. We are preparing a different society. And then yesterday, I read the report of how the city is mandating that its white employees, quote, own the complicity of their racism and, quote, undo their whiteness. So basically, if you want to keep your job, you must undo truth and completely cancel yourself and cancel your character. Now, this is the big thing that I wanted to discuss, because the United States, if you're trying to undermine the United States of America, which has been this beacon of liberty to the rest of the world, and second to Christianity, capitalism has done more to improve the human condition than anything else. This is an ideological battle. It is a battle of liberty versus Marxism. And then Marxism is wrapping itself in this flag of social justice warriorism. And that's their disguise. Now, to achieve their end, they want to banish common ground, and emotional blackmail is used to keep order. Case in point, when Don Lemon excoriated Terry Crews because Terry Crews simply wanted to find some kind of common ground and establish reconciliation. Another case in point, the letter that all these leftists and these centrists signed, noting how some of these cancel culture tactics have gone too far even for them. It's gone too far even for them. It's the Thermidorian reaction. It's that point in the French Revolution where some of the leftists start going, wait, 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 hold up. Has this gone too far? It seems like it's gone too far. Has it gone too far? And that's true. They signed this letter, a bunch of them, and then some of them began backing out because they saw all of this emotional blackmail that was happening. They saw the rage mob coming for them. You can't have a thought on free speech, apparently, unless you first investigate the other individuals with whom you might share this view, because if someone else engages in arbitrarily defined wrongthink, then that belief is somehow invalidated. This is the tactic. The reason why they're targeting statues and they're targeting the founders and they're targeting, you know, Jefferson and Hamilton, who I didn't actually think should be canceled. I was just making a point on the hypocrisy of the rage mob. The reason why they're doing it the attack through the argument of slavery is not one formed from good faith objection to inequality. And I say that because Marxists literally promote inequality while pretending to champion it. And it betrays their stated purpose. The target, their target of the founders is designed to erode our trust in the people who created our system so that by doing this, we might question our own fidelity to America and America's liberty because we're questioning the collective character of our founders. And the unspoken reasoning is that flawed men could not have created so perfect a union. Thus, the union must be flawed because the men were flawed. I actually talked about this in Grace Canceled. I think it was in chapter 6. Because I get into biblically how God used flawed people to glorify his purpose because he doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. So yesterday, Lin-Manuel Miranda was apologizing for Hamilton. He was, there were a couple of articles written and he had even noted that, and I use the word flawed because he had noted in his response, he's like, look at, you know, the country's made of flawed people. This was the story of that. And he said, look, all criticisms are valid. The sheer tonnage of complexities and failings of these people I couldn't get or wrestled with but cut. I took 6 years and fit as much as I could in a two and a half hour musical. I did my best. It's all fair game. And I retweeted and I said, look, I go, can we not acknowledge that history is imperfect because people are imperfect? Is nuance this dead? And that bad can exist within good and good within bad because it does also within people. A flawed people today judge a flawed people of the past, and a flawed people will judge us in the future. Why can't we just recognize this? The thing is, when you look back and you question, well, why didn't Washington and Jefferson? Why? There were so many nuances. And if you engage in the discussion of this, it's going to get cherry picked to death. And you are going to be cast as someone who supports slavery. Or someone who's defending the founder's support of it. Which they actually didn't really support it, which is why the Constitution was written in the way that it was written. The problem was that during that era, it was not widely or even supported by a minority of colonists at the time. It really wasn't. It was, you know, sadly, that's the way things operated. It's not an excuse. I'm giving you a perspective of the time. Now, Washington, according to some historians, actually would free as experiments a number of the people that he had. He would free the Americans that he kept as slaves to see if they were able to go out and get like work as freemen on other farms, and no one would hire them. And there was the problem of no one wanting to hire somebody that had been made free. And the basically you were kind of excommunicado. And they were trying to keep this little fledgling union together. And you could say that was one of the prices that they paid for it. I wouldn't disagree with you. But in order to completely free people, they wrote the founding documents the way that they were. We could sit here and have a discussion about Rousseau. We could talk about, you know, the rights of man. We could sit here and have a huge discussion about enlightenment and all of the influences and everything that was happening at the time. I'm totally happy to do so. But there is a lot more nuance than people want to give it credit for. And people are dumbing down American history so that they can get some kind of talking point. And by way of presenting the founders as flawed, while, you know, it's really weird to me that a bunch of people that are totally fine with infanticide on demand supported by taxpayer dollars are casting aspersions on what founders did back in the day. There's a lot of nuance here. And we're dumbing down the discussion of it so that people can get you to question your fidelity to America, because if flawed people created the country, then the country, this is so illogical, must be flawed. That's their argument. They won't say it. We have a lot more in store. Kurt Schlichter will be joining us later on in the program as well. And apparently defending the anthem is worse than quoting Hitler. At least if you're in the NFL, we'll discuss that too. Nearly a decade ago, Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, was founded by freedom-loving Americans to help you support the values in which you believe. A portion of every dollar earned goes to support organizations that fight for First and Second Amendment rights, Also, they support sanctity of life and the needs of veterans and first responders. For a limited time, you can take advantage of Patriot Mobile's Let Freedom Ring promotion. Now through July 11th, get incredible discounts, like a free phone, or get a free month of service and free activation. High-value commitment plans to fit your budget. Call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com and use promo code FREEDOM at checkout. Their U.S.-based sales and support team will help you get unlimited talk and data and no hidden fees on their dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks. Call today to get the biggest promotion of the year. 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com, promo code FREEDOM. Let freedom ring with Patriot Mobile.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right. So do these people ever shut up? I'm just sharing this because this is the headline I keep seeing everywhere. Harry and Meghan say the wrongs of the Commonwealth's colonial past need to be acknowledged. Hey, why don't you guys talk about how Erdogan is saying that the Hagia Sophia should be turned back into They're fighting over whether it should be turned back into a cathedral or stay something that is representative of Islam. Talk about Muslim colonialism if you want to have a discussion, because I'm so tired of hearing this, like, woke crap. Nobody cares. Like, nobody cares. Go away. Go away. Go away. All right, moving on. I have opinions today. The We Hate Trump group totally wasted donor money, according to reports. The Lincoln Project, apparently, they said they capitalized on Trump's rage, but apparently they spent $1.4 million through March, and almost all of the money, well, it went to their board members and the board members' firms. There was, like, barely anything that went to actual direct political activity. Oh, well, that's interesting, because I was told that that's not how that works. If you glow in the dark, you may want to consult the lab. A U.S. nuclear lab is investigating a breach at a plutonium facility, according to ABC News. Of course they are. The story is that what officials at their premier nuclear labs are investigating the potential of exposure of employees to plutonium. Like I said, turn off the lights and you glow, light up the stage and rock the mic like a vandal. I'm just saying. No, I'm somewhat kidding. Stay with us.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec. Visit us at KelTecWeapons.com.
The fact that you can cross the border, go into Indiana, and purchase military-grade weapons at any number with no background check is a terrible thing, not only for our city, but look at the devastation that gun violence is wreaking every single day in our community. So the only way we're really going to get at that problem in a profound way to make a substantial difference is to have federal laws in place that require background checks and strengthen the penalties for people who pick up guns and wreak havoc in our community.
We literally have this. This is Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. Welcome back to the program. I'm Dana Lash. And, you know, one of the other things that's interesting about Chicago is that out of all of the cities across the country, Chicago previously and still has been one of the cities with the lowest prosecutions for felony firearms crimes. You're talking about criminality or you're talking about people who are in illegal possession of a firearm while in commission of another felony. Some of the lowest level prosecutions out of the entire country come out of Chicago. So I really can't take Mayor Lightfoot's criticisms seriously, considering their abdication of law and order, not just where it concerns felony prosecutions of said crimes, but also the defunding of police, ignoring the rioting, etc., that continue to happen all the time. Additionally, I can't take Mayor Lightfoot seriously when she's removed the greatest deterrent to recidivism and repeat offending with all of these individuals who are prohibited possessors in the first place by way of their previous criminal actions, and reducing the deterrent and not even bringing up charges, but letting people out before their sentences have been served, or just giving them wrist slaps. I talk about this in both of the books that I've written, where I touched upon firearms. I mentioned both of these points and get into it a little heavier in the first one, Hands Off My Gun. But that is just absolute garbage. And if she's going to sit here and talk about firearm law, I think that she needs to be aware of what firearm law is as mayor of Chicago. That's kind of your job, to know this stuff, instead of fear-mongering and acting like we don't have certain things in place that we absolutely, inarguably do. It's just inexcusable. I mean, we are all, I mean, I don't know, maybe she is that ignorant, but we aren't. And if you want me to be more courteous about this, I suggest that you be more courteous to the American people and not lie to them about what is and what is not existing law as it pertains to the Second Amendment. And no, you can't go across state lines and buy something because, newsflash, it's already a felony to do so. If you are a prohibited possessor and ineligible to purchase in your state of residence, you cannot go across state lines and purchase a firearm. I don't even have to have notes to rattle all of this off to you. I care enough about the issue to know the damn law, and I would challenge Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot to care enough about the people of her city and the issue to know the law as well, or at least a third as well as I do. Now, that being said, some of this stuff, everything is dumb. This is what I wrote last night. Could you tell I was in a bad mood? Yeah. I wasn't in a bad mood. I was just cynical. I was super cynical. And update, that stupid spider. Have we seen anything else?
Nothing yet.
I'm just looking up.
Beginning to think the name should be changed to Stealthy.
What is the name of it?
I thought Webster. Did we not decide Webster? I think that's a
millennial DJ
really
Steve.
Appropriate name.
Yep.
What do you think?
I haven't changed it. I still like Zaddy Longlegs.
Zaddy Longlegs.
Millennial Rachel is going to have to be the.
If it's a Daddy Longlegs, you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah. What if it's a chick? Did you just chicks assume it's gender?
No. Don't be gender fluid. Chicks can be zaddies.
Zaddy is.
That's no gender fluid spider up in my
put a Z
my
in
light
front
rig.
Of it becomes gender fluid.
I'm just turning into Red Foreman. Rachel, you're going to have to be the deciding vote here. Webster or Zaddy Longlegs?
That's a tough one. I like Webster, though.
Oh, dude.
Damn it,
just
Rachel.
I think you got... Sorry. You know
Kindred
what that can
spirit.
Be? Is, how
Kindred
about this?
Spirit.
That's Webster's DJ name. DJ Zaddy Longlegs. Because people are now asking you to put this damn thing on SoundCloud.
Right.
So you're going to have to.
Yep.
So there you go. You got you still win it. Yeah. This, it's true, right? See, look at it. So, oh my gosh, where to start? This is why I wrote this last night. I said, everything is stupid and the big flaming asteroid of death can hit this blank hole planet any day now. Are you ready? Because I got some dumb stuff for you. Scrabble is banning. First off, I didn't even know this was acceptable. I don't really play Scrabble, but I didn't know this was acceptable. Scrabble tournaments are now banning racial and ethnic slurs.
What?
When was that allowable?
Like, what, did they give examples?
No. Well, I mean, no.
I sure would like examples.
And they said that, I guess we're talking about Scrabble rules. Jeez.
Wow. You know what's going to happen is they're going to come out with a Scrabble that's just nothing but racial slurs. It's just racial slur Scrabble.
What if you have the words... Someone had posted this. I can't remember who this is. I'm going to crib it. I wanted to be able to get proper attribution, but I can't. Somebody had said that imagine you have the word C, open space, N, and then T, and you look at the tray, and it's like YZZOU.
All right, then.
I'm just saying.
Right.
I'm just placing it out there.
The word cut at that point. Just three-letter word, you're fine.
But that's not...
Still scoring points.
And that's not really what it was, though. No. Okay. So now they're doing the stuff with the Scrabble. But wait, there's more. Are you ready? I think, ladies and gentlemen, that's really difficult. I thought I found the dumbest story. And then that story... Then stupidity, period, told me to hold its beer. So this is the first one. I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to share with you the headline. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The unintentional racism found in traffic signals.
What? Traffic signals?
Yeah. And so this dude who's white, this is not like satire. It's not satire. He writes, he talks about Aunt Jemima pancake products, Eskimo pies, it's everyday racism, and blah, blah, blah. But what about the far more subtle streams of everyday racism that course through our homes, our workplaces, and outside the world? These instances may be far subtler than a mascot or an offensive term, but are no less pervasive and no less deserving of cultural reckoning. For me, this reckoning begins with traffic signals. A few months back, writes this white man who's super white, before COVID-19 kept us in our homes and George Floyd made us take to the streets. Sidebar, he's not actually English, but I'm reading it this way. I was walking with a friend, her daughter, and my twin sons. And says, he's like, my friend is white. And I'm looking at his avatar. He's white as could be in his avatar. He says that they reached a crosswalk and his friend said to the daughter, remember, honey, we need to wait for the little white man to appear before we can cross the street. Oh, no. And I realized that white people like to exert control over nearly everything everyone does. But since when did this literally include trying to cross the street? Okay, well, then make the light black, then, in the black box. It's very easily discernible from a distance.
It won't work at all.
But no, that's obviously the answer, Kane. That's the answer to the problem, is to make the light black. I'm not... In the black box.
Absence
from across the street. It's easy, super easy to see.
Of light. Absence of light would be...
Nope, that is the black solution, clearly.
Wow.
But what if people get hit by cars? Because they can't see the light. Well, then that is more evidence of systemic racism.
What does he expect?
This guy writes... I'm still scrolling. At least 15 to 1800 words on this without even actually stopping to think that maybe it's because he complains that it's super duper white and super duper bright. I'm literally quoting him.
Oh, super duper.
Maybe it's so people could see it because the box that it is in is also black and the board to which it is affixed
is
also black.
Do you remember when we were younger and those lights actually lit up the words walk or don't walk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were the associated colors. Walk mm-hmm. was white and don't walk was orange.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was an outrage because, hey, some of our citizenry can't read. So we have to make it a stick figure showing them walking. And then the other one showing, like, I don't know, like not walking, sitting down or something. I don't know what is the other one. It's just an orange person that isn't walking? Like, I have no idea. Anyway, so I don't understand why we addressed a problem, a real problem before, where some citizens can't read. So we then put symbols as to what they should or should not do at the crosswalk. So
yeah, well, I think he assumed that stick individual's gender.
I didn't even think about that.
Because you know what? He's a man because he's in pants.
Is it pantsed? Are they wearing pants?
I'm sure he's... I see two visible legs.
Yeah, I just saw...
Pants.
You sure there's pants?
How dare this sexist bastard assume the gender of this little lit person? Because women wear pants too.
Person's lit.
Little lit person sounds sidebar like a really interesting name of like cover band nursery songs. Performed in only the hippest of daycares. And they're also high. Because this, yeah. But wait, there's more.
No.
Oh, but there is. I need to share with you another headline. I'm so sorry. This is from The Guardian. This is when the spider up in the lighting rig is going to fling itself off to its death on me.
I know what story you're talking about.
I'm just going to read the headline and then the subhead.
Oh, no.
Written by one Leslie Kern. It's from The Guardian, ladies and gentlemen. The headline is... Upward thrusting buildings ejaculating into the sky. Do cities have to be so sexist? Toxic masculinity is built into the fabric of our urban spaces, writes Leslie Kern, author of the new stupid book, Feminist City. And the results aren't just divisive, they can be lethal. Literally the headline and subhead. I'm not... You needed to know this because it's news. the first graph? Glass ceilings and phallic towers, mean streets and dark alleys, road names and statues of men. From the physical to the metaphorical, the city is filled with reminders of masculine power, and yet we rarely talk of the urban landscape as an active participant in gender inequality. A building, no matter how phallic, is actually misogynist, is it? Surely a skyscraper isn't responsible for sexual harassment, the wage gap, or even the glass ceiling, whether it has a literal one or not. This, someone wrote this. Wow. I'm not even going to read the rest.
Never considered buildings upward thrusting, though. Did you ever?
If you're looking at buildings.
Yeah.
And the first thing that comes to your mind,
yeah,
is a penis. Then I think,
right,
you need to go and see someone.
Yeah, professional.
Like an actual, like mental,
yeah,
health person.
Yeah.
And I can't look at. Did you see the third graph of the story? I can't even share it with our listeners and our viewers. I can't even, because she's so mad and apparently obsessed. And she talks about like obelisks and spires, and they say that architects are purposefully using male copulatory organ shapes and descriptions to shut out women. If you are obsessing over this to the extent that one Ms. Leslie Kearns is, seek thy mental assistance. This makes me hate chicks, man. This makes me not, right? Like, what in the world? And I don't feel that cities are like this, really, at all.
I put a picture in Slack of a building that
mm-hmm.
probably could be considered not phallic.
I don't even know where is that?
It's a building shape that wouldn't be.
What building is it, though? It looks like a Yeezy shoe. It does.
Oh wait, here's another one. Hold on.
Where are you, like, literally Googling lady part buildings? Would, because it feels like that actually looks like a turkey with the center cut out.
Wow.
And the feet's gone.
You really know how to paint a picture.
I'm telling you.
You really do.
This is where this is why aliens don't visit us. If I was an alien, I would be like, your people are stupid. And I'd rather bomb you and then consume your resources.
I'm just saying that.
And then dominate you. That's what I'd rather do.
There's some buildings that aren't upwardly thrusting.
Maybe they make them tall like that because there's less space in the city, not because people are obsessed with phalluses as she is.
That doesn't sound right at all.
I mean, like, she... Oh, man, it's taking me everything I have not to say with this sentence. It's we're going to have to go to break. You know, women can be some real D's. You know that?
That's true.
They really can. You know what I'm saying? They can. All right, we God help us all. We have to get moving.
It's the Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I got two quick stories here for you. First and foremost, a Florida jogger done found himself a human head on the side of the road. It was on a Tuesday in St. Petersburg, Florida. According to authorities, St. Petersburg police were investigating what appeared to be a human head on the side of the road. I have no jokes. I mean, I do, but, you know, they could not figure out whether it was a male or female, according to the public information officer. But they said it was an actual head, not like a skeleton. So they go, well, we feel that the person didn't die there. So people are going in the woods to see if they can find the rest. Dang. And a police arrest a woman, a pantsless Florida woman, who stole wine from a Publix. Desiree Taylor was arrested Monday morning at her apartment by Florida police. She entered the Publix on College Road, grabbed two boxes of wine, and left. No word on whether she was a member of Moms Demand. Authorities say that the store manager tried to stop Taylor from stealing the wine, but she was swinging her arms about wildly and fled. They did actually take her into custody. We have a lot more in store. Kurt Schlichter will join us in a little bit.
Eagles posted regarding Deshaun Jackson comments. He was trying to educate himself, educate people, and he's speaking the truth. Right?
Okay.
He's speaking the truth. You know he don't hate nobody, but he's speaking the truth of what of the facts
about Hitler
that he know and try to educate others.
Like about Hitler?
But y'all don't want us to educate ourselves.
About Hitler? Or like what?
If it's talking about the black race, y'all ain't saying nothing about it. They killing us. Police killing us.
No.
And treating us like racism at an all-time high. But ain't none of you NFL owners spoke up on that. Ain't none of you teams spoke up on that. But the same team had a receiver that say the word Nick to say it publicly.
Okay. All right. So this is retired NBA player Steven Jackson. And he's coming out defending NFL's DeSean Jackson. He's saying that, or he's saying that what he was saying is truth, because DeSean Jackson posted a Hitler quote, a fake Hitler quote, and a bunch of Farrakhan anti-Semitic stuff, and then there was all the drama. Oh, drama! It's another day that ends in Y. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Everything is stupid. DanaLash.com at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Welcome to the place where you can get away from all the stupid people and we fellowship together. Simulcast on Facebook, YouTube, channel 248, Pluto TV via the first. So DeSean Jackson posts this thing up and he's like, I post a lot of things that are sent to me. I didn't realize what this message was saying. I mean, I didn't mean to be like totally anti-Semitic. I didn't mean what I said about people. He goes, Hitler has caused some pain to Jewish people and that we should be fighting anti-Semitism and racism, etc. So, I mean, he had posted something. Drew Brees. How many times did Drew Brees had to apologize? Damn man, they dragged his wife in it. Oh, yeah. That woman had to apologize. Basically, their Christmas photo is going to be them apologizing and taking a knee. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what their, you know, Christmas card is going to be this year. And they made this man apologize a frillion times. And then what's his face? We talked about him when all this happened. I wrote about it when it happened. He basically wore a he wore an OAN shirt. Is that, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Wore an OAN shirt. And over Oklahoma. Yeah, thank you, Mike Gundy. I couldn't remember his name. I was like, the guy with the mullet. The mullet dude. And everyone lost their ever-loving minds. Mike Gundy wore a T-shirt. And then all these other sports writers, I think he's going to get fired. They, like, all try to create this drama. DeSean Jackson is sharing Hitler quotes and anti-Semitic garbage. And the Philadelphia Eagles are like, yeah, well, we talked to him. It's all good. The hell?
Equality.
Yeah, what? I mean, at least he doesn't have Drew Brees' white privilege, I guess. I mean, defending the anthem is bad. But, I mean, he took a knee to the media pile-on. But, hey, you quote Hitler, you endorse the POS that is Louis Farrakhan and everything. Oh, no, we talked to him. It's cool. Because the Eagles had a statement. Let me pull this up. They had a statement that they had released. We have spoken with DeSean Jackson about his social media posts. Regardless of his intentions, the messages he shared were offensive, harmful, and just absolutely appalling. Just appalling. They have no place in our society and are not condoned or supported in any way by the organization, but we are disappointed and we reiterated to DeSean the importance of not only apologizing, but also using his platform to take action, to promote unity, equality, and respect. And we're going to continue to evaluate, you know, the circumstances and stuff, and we'll take appropriate action, okay? And we take these matters like very super seriously and are committed to continuing to have all the transitive verbs and prepositions and everything else in our sentences to have productive and meaningful conversations with DeSean. So get the hell over. I mean, they didn't say it like that, but basically that's what they said. Regardless of his intentions, I mean, what intentions might one have when they're literally sharing fake quotes attributed to Hitler? And they're being ragingly anti-Semitic. Like, despite his intentions, like, what intentions would have made it okay? Well, he lovingly shared fake Hitler quotes. Would that have been the difference? I mean, he didn't mean to be so anti-Semitic anti-Semitically. I mean, would that have, like, changed it? Like, what? I mean, he thought it was from Hitler. He legit thought the quote that he shared was from Hitler. And he shared it because he thought it was from Hitler. It's not that he shared a quote and didn't know that it was a Hitler quote. He shared a fake quote that was attributed to Hitler. And the reason he shared it is because he thought Hitler shared it. We all understand this, right? And the Eagles are like, well, we talked to him and it's okay. Meanwhile, Drew Brees, they had like basically a ceremony where they had him and his wife and like his great aunt and everybody else come out and all take the knee because how dare you defend the anthem? How dare thou? And they, I mean, he had to like take a knee a frillion times and apologize. And then his wife apologized. And do they have kids? I don't even know anything about their kids. I bet they apologize. I mean, everybody was apologizing. How dare you defend the anthem? If only Drew Brees had shared a fake Hitler quote. Damn. Right? If only Drew Brees had been a raging anti-Semite. Damn. Then it'd all been different, right?
Been a lot easier on him.
Now, do you remember late last week when they were trying to attribute the eagle emblem on like the president's seal as being the
Eagles
eagle
or Hitler
of the
when
Nazi
when
logo?
Hitler died, when Hitler died, he just dissipated into a flock of eagles. Did they even call it a flock? What the hell did they call a bunch
of
them?
It's a flock, isn't it? Wouldn't be a murder.
It's the way the press acts. No, that's crows.
Right. So
which actually is so goth. But anyway,
it'd be a flock, I think.
I don't think you're right.
But
seagulls. But
oh, a convocation. That's what. Seriously? A convocation of eagles? That's a
I love how
eagles.
Every bird has its own gang name.
Right.
It's amazing. It's a convocation. No, they're a murder. We're a convocation. I'm just saying.
So, if the eagle is a Nazi emblem, then the eagles are a Nazi organization, I guess, right?
Well, it's all about... I mean, he shared... I just... I mean, he literally posted a fake quote from Hitler. He highlighted the super anti-Semitic part of it. Like he highlighted it. His hand was on it. I mean, and then he was like, oh, I didn't mean to say this anti-Semitically. At least I'm not Drew Brees defending the anthem and stuff. Holy wow. Or Mike Gundy wearing a logo t-shirt. And you wonder why people are so like sassy about stuff. That's stupid. The Philly Eagles, their response is stupid and it makes everybody stupid. It's just, it's ridiculous. The rage mob, like I told you, I was in a bad mood last night. I was crabby and super cynical, and I am cynical today. And even though I have a post up at danalash.com that you need to read called It's Not a Protest, It's a Revolution, which it is, I tend to think that in a way, the rage mob are a bunch of pansies because they target only the hollow men and women. These people don't do anything to affect change. Look, I'm going to throw paint on the George Washington statue. Great job there, Francis. You just made him look more hardcore. I'm going to go take this statue down, but our blackface governor is still in Virginia. They don't actually do the stuff that changes anything. If they really believed in racial inequality to the extent that they do, they wouldn't just be like, hey, guess what? We just scored a major victory. We changed the name of MLS words. Like master bedroom is no longer master bedroom. We solved the racisms. Yay. They don't do anything like that. What the hell does that do? You change some words? Zippity-doo-dah. Whoopity-doo for you. You change some words, you damn pansies. They go after hollow men and women, CEOs, right, that have to worry about the bottom line to lose. They go after damn pancake mascots. They go after college presidents. It's ironic because they call themselves the resistance, but they go for the path of least resistance. They go for the easiest ones to rhetorically knock off. And in the meantime, as they're doing this, liberals that have been on the left and they thought themselves to be allies of progressives, they're starting to get a little bit wary of this. Like I was telling you about the letter that Harper's Magazine published, where you had all of these people that signed their name onto this letter saying we're getting a little like skeeved out by the cancel culture. It's concerning us a little bit. Yeah, because the rage mob always eats its own. whether it's the Stalinists, the Maoists, whether it's the French Revolution, the Thermidorian reaction, whatever it is, they always eat their own. They always consume their own. They have to have total unity. Anyone on the left that thinks that they're going to resist that, you'll be consumed just like historically everyone has always been. What do they do to Robespierre, for crying out loud? That's how it always is. They will sacrifice you to preserve the unity. If you question, you're out. That's why Common Ground is viewed as such a betrayal. By the way, when are they going to cancel Ken Burns? Think back to this. I was thinking of this because one of the prettiest soundtracks I've ever heard was, remember, was it PBS? What was it that did the Ken Burns? They had like a whole special camera effect, the Ken Burns effect that is literally in like Apple movies and all that stuff now, iMovie, where you can make a still image appear lifelike by the way you zoom in on it and pan and all this. And that was the Ken Burns effect. And he used that heavily in the when he did the doc on the Civil War, because there were so many still images. How do you bring all of this stuff to life? You'd use the Ken Burns effect. And it had a beautiful score. The score to the Ken Burns Civil War documentary was beautiful. And he told the story, and he told it, I mean, it was very honest and it was very truthful, but he didn't present, you know, like he didn't present Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis as these, you know, awful monsters. I mean, you can have your opinion of what you think their character is. I mean, I have my opinion, but, you know, he looked at people as people and not just issues. And he told the story to make the documentary interesting. Otherwise, it would have been as boring as hell and it wouldn't have been an award-winning success. He could not make that film today. Ken Burns could not make a Civil War documentary today. I was thinking about this. I remember when I took like 17, 18 years of classical ballet. And I remember in one of my master classes, it was like Saturday mornings and I would go in and we would be stretching and get ready for bar exercises. And our master of class would always play the Civil War soundtrack every day. A black man too, by the way, just because I know progressives find that fascinating. From New York, and he would play... Well, that's, you have, I mean, he was the instructor and he loved that score so much. He played it one song in particular that I can't remember. And that's what we would stretch to as everyone got into class and arrived into class on Saturday mornings. And that's what we would, it's very interesting. That's how I grew to like it so much, was through him. He couldn't make that film today. So we're at a weird point. That's why that Harper's letter is more significant than you think.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
That's on a karaoke now. Giant human-sized bat. I don't want to get by that. What? Giant human-sized bat leaves social media users understandably horrified. They say that they would leave the country. It's the golden-crowned flying fox in the Philippines. It has a ginormous wingspan, but it feasts on fruit, not flesh. It sounds so awful. This thing is enormous, and I hate it to death. No. I don't like this. Did you see it?
Yeah. It looks like Dracula.
It's like I'm watching, right, like Winona Ryder is going to come out of the side and hug it. I'm like waiting. There's like video. It's
a 6-foot wingspan.
Imagine like a devilish looking fox bear with pointy ears and then the weird wings. Oh, man. Mm-mm. It's like the size of Batman. Social media users said they would leave the country if this was in their country. Yeah, okay, yeah. They said their bodies aren't big. It's only the size of a small dog. Oh! And then somebody said they're actually gentle. No one believes you. No one believes that they are gentle. I don't like it moving. I don't want to see the video if you're watching on 248 via Pluto or the simulcast. That's nasty. Why? The Texas State Fair was canceled for the first time since World War II over coronavirus concerns. Because apparently, I guess the sun and hot air and that doesn't actually kill it. I don't know. Walmart's going head-to-head with Amazon. This is actually a smart move. They're launching a subscription program. The Walmart Plus membership is going to include fuel discounts, same-day shipping at no additional cost, and other perks. It's going to be a dollar less than what Prime was when it first started, $98. Prime was $99. An Australian man fought off one of the world's deadliest snakes while driving on the highway. What is up with you, Australia? A 27-year-old man, only identified as Jimmy in the police news release, was driving down Dawson Highway in sight of Queensland, and he noticed a snake in his vehicle. It was an Eastern brown snake, super venomous, like it kills people. And he said he apparently like lost his ever-loving mind driving at 76 miles per hour, and he got pulled over, and he told the cop that there's a snake in here. There's a snake. I think it's bitten me. It's in the car with me. It's actually kind of funny. Kurt Schlichter joins us next to discuss his new book. Stick with us.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
But they're going to do everything they can to suppress votes. And finally, if it's a close election, he may not leave.
That's Al Franken. Yeah. That's what they kept saying this entire time. Well, what if it's a close? They said this last in 2016. Mm-hmm. Well, if it's a close election, we know that that's what they were planning on. Yep. They were trying to undermine free and fair elections. I don't know. I have people who send me emails and they keep going, oh, I don't know. What do you think about these polls? And I don't trust a single bit of it. I don't trust anyone. I don't trust media. I don't trust what I'm reading. I trust what's happening like in my locality, but that's about it. And I definitely do not trust entities that publish misleading headline and just straight up false headline after headline. I don't trust them partnering with some sort of polling entity and expecting that what I'm going to see from them is an unbiased temperature check of the electorate. I mean, for crying out loud, nobody believes that, especially not my friend Kurt Schlichter, who is joining us via Skype from super sunny California. The sun is shining on you, Kurt Schlichter, whose brand new book.
Thank you.
I got to talk about your book, The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and you, the people who are going out there and reading that book. You can find Kurt at Town Hall and on Twitter, obviously, which is where my go-to place is. Kurt, good to see you. Congrats on the book.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here with you.
Good to have you. I by the way, anybody who likes Kurt on Twitter, he is just like that at Town Hall and just like that in real life. What you see and what you read is what you get with Kurt. And obviously that's what you get with this book as well. You're just very unapologetic about your criticism of the, and we just lost him, but we'll get him back. Kurt is very unapologetic about the criticism of those who would seek to misrepresent what you did in 2016. And so with this, you know, and we've gotten into, We covered the Russia stuff. We've covered the witch hunt. We've covered everything. And this one gets into his book gets into the 21 biggest lies about the president, and how everything from warmonger, which that's a weird one for me. Whenever anyone tries to smear the administration as being some sort of like neocon administration or some sort of war, like that's literally the opposite of what is happening here. It's the opposite of what's actually going on. So let me know when we have Kurt back, because I am blaming Communist California for this. Oh wait, no, I hear him.
I hear him.
We have him. Okay, so
no,
we have
video,
his audio.
All right,
we have audio.
Oh, here we
okay,
are.
That'll work, Kurt. There you are. That'll work. It's Communist California.
The NSA is not going to stop us.
It's not. They're trying to shut you up. They're trying to prevent you from getting this message out. One of my favorite things that you address in this book, and I love how sassy you are about this on social media, and obviously with your military background, I think that you have a little bit more weight whenever you're talking foreign policy than, you know, some regular folks. But the idea that this administration has been some sort of like neocon warmongering administration is just legitimately one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. And you talk about this in the book.
Well, look, there's a theme through the book is whether the people telling these lies are stupid or whether they just think we're stupid. You know, to call Trump a warmonger, you have to go back to Jimmy Carter to find a president who has not started a war before before Donald Trump. I mean, even Barack Obama, besides continuing and failing in Iraq and Afghanistan, he started the Libyan war, which led to slave markets in Tripoli, which I am reliably informed is a bad thing, according to our protesters. But yes, they never talk about that. They've got to knock down a statue of somebody who died 150 years ago. Trump is not a warmonger. Trump is a normal person who says, look, I'll fight for my country if we have to, if it makes sense, if we're willing to win, if we're not willing to pay the price of victory, then let's not get in it. In Afghanistan, putting aside even the cost of our casualties going forward, what we would have to do to the Afghan people is pretty brutal. It's, you're getting Roman legion style stuff there. And I don't know. I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to go in and destroy the village to save it. The Afghan people are going to have to figure out how the Afghan people are going to live. And if it's worth fighting over, then the Afghan people are going to have to do the fighting. As far as I'm concerned, I think Donald Trump and many of our listeners, and, you know, I don't call me a dove. I'm not a dove. I'm also not a hawk. I'm an American, and I will fight for our interests. Right. And I've deployed twice, although I was so far in the rear, you'd have to FedEx bullets to hit me. yeah, I'm not a war hero like Colonel Vindman.
Oh.
Who left the Army this time. No more physical fitness tests for him.
Yeah.
Oh. So.
But you know what? To this point, I have to ask you this because you bring this up, and this kind of gets into some of what you're talking about with the criticism of the president. This big fight with the Illinois Congresswoman Tammy Duckworth, and then the president of the United States. Look, we appreciate when people serve. But why is it treated, and it seems like it's only appreciated by progressives, when it can be used as a shield to deflect deserved criticism? I mean, when you're out there cheering on the removal of George Washington statues, that's crack pottery and it deserves criticism. Why is she exempt?
Well, I don't understand how this whole you were in the army, you can or can't be criticized thing. Where, let's take me for an example. I was less Audie Murphy than Murphy's Law. But, you know, I showed up, deployed twice. How does this work? Do I get some immunity from criticism? Right. Do I get total immunity?
You get none because you're a conservative white man. You get none because you're a conservative white man.
But how does this work? And, of course, it doesn't work because it's ridiculous. She's a senator, and what she did in Iraq is utterly irrelevant to the insanely stupid things that she's saying now.
Yeah.
And they are insanely stupid, and she's an embarrassment as a senator. And here's the other thing. We spend all these time reassuring people, I respect their service. Well, that's a given, okay? We're conservatives. We respect your service. We don't need to say it. And we know it. We live it. But I don't respect her service as a senator. She's been a terrible senator. I think it's important for the president to criticize her, for Tucker Carlson to criticize her, for you to criticize her, for me to criticize her, and everybody else to criticize her. And by the way, I think you can criticize me. And people do, all over Twitter.
Yeah, I've noticed that standard doesn't apply to you whenever someone is criticizing you. And I don't know why I said House, Senator Duckworth. But the whenever you're criticized, that is always inapplicable as far as you're concerned, or really not even just you, anyone who's a conservative, it's ultimately excused.
Of course. You know, me, Jesse Kelly, there's a whole bunch of us Twitter guys who, showed up in uniform. Okay. All right. We did our thing. We don't expect anything special for it, but we just note that the rules don't seem to apply to us. And that's one of the themes of the book.
Mm.
The rules only go one way, which means there are no rules. And you see that, you look at something like lie number four is Trump is Putin's pet, which is a guy who was literally in the Cold War. I mean, I was literally in Germany in the Cold War in Seventh Corps. It's always nice to be told by some 24-year-old Vox scribbler with a goatee and a stupid tat. That it's in Chinese. He thinks it means luck, but it really means sucker. And to be told that I'm not hard enough on the Russians by this guy who can't even do a push-up. If you look objectively, Trump has stopped the Nord or gone the way of the Nord Stream pipeline, tried to make NATO pay for its own defense, which doesn't exactly help Putin. And he killed a couple hundred Russians when they attacked one of our forward positions in Syria. Okay, if he's Putin's pal, their relationship is highly dysfunctional.
Yeah, that's abusive. That's an abusive relationship. Yeah, that's exactly. He's like the suckiest pal ever.
Counseling.
Yeah, exactly. He's the worst pal ever. If that is the case.
Yes.
One of the and I was having this discussion with listeners a little earlier. This idea that, and I really love, I loved the 4th of July ceremony, the Independence Day ceremony the president had at Mount Rushmore. I thought it was pretty baller. Yep. I mean, the fireworks coming up behind the heads of the, you know, Mount Rushmore. I mean, does it get more American than that? I don't think so. It was pretty amazing.
It was beautiful.
That was a throwdown. Here's a real line in the sand speech on, we're not going to undermine the founding of the country. We're not going to undermine liberty, because isn't that what all of this is about? If Marxists are able to have you believe that our founders were too flawed, then by association, the document that they wrote was flawed and the entire premise of our nation is flawed. Thus, we need something new. Isn't that the goal?
Oh, of course it is. And of course, what's the something new? Whatever they want. You know, it's really weird that all the solutions to all the crises that they subtly discover and turn into a moral panic always seem to be to give them the things that they wanted anyway. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Weather in 100 years. Let's go socialist. Cop gets out of line. Let's go socialist. Come on. It's all a lie and it's all a scam. And again, the book talks about that in great detail. And we have to understand, we can't reason with these people. Look, I'm a lawyer. I argue for a living. But I don't argue with stupid people unless I'm being paid. And I don't argue with liberals because they don't care. You can't talk them out of something. You can't show them, you know, here is some evidence. Here are some facts. It draws this conclusion. And they're like, no, the only conclusion is I get more power over you. But that isn't to say reason doesn't matter. It isn't to say that a show like yours isn't important, because there are a lot of people out there who are not paying attention to politics 24/7. They won't be until September because they're out there living their lives, going to church, building their families, doing things that matter instead of toppling statues and acting like fools. And we can talk to those people. The guy who says, well, you know, I was in high school and I took a little hit out in the parking lot in the Camaro while I was listening to some Steve Miller, went into history, but I was paying enough attention to know that Abraham Lincoln was not for slavery. So when you're knocking down that statue, I understand that doesn't make a lot of sense. You probably got something else going on. Regular people, as opposed to as lunatics who live in politics and swim in that cesspool, they can be convinced, but you can't convince a lot. You can never talk them out of socialism, because socialism isn't even the point. Their personal power is the point. And these are unaccomplished people. These are people with no track record of achievement. I like to point out, you know, how what a loser establishment we have. You know, the establishment of World War II in the 40s gave one World War II, guys had a depression. In the 60s, they dismantled actual systemic racism, not the, like, which was by Democrats, imposed by Democrats, run by Democrats, not the, you know, the phantom that we have today. And they put a man on the moon. Our generation, our establishment generation has given us Iraq, the Wall Street meltdown, and Grindr. Not really achieving much, okay? Our elite is exactly the opposite. All they have are lies. Hence the book, 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump, which everybody should buy because it's hilarious.
And it's out now. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at where books are sold. I keep telling people that this is not a protest. This is a revolution. And they have, people have told, they've been, at least, you know, to give them credit, they've at least been honest about it. They've said it's a revolution, no matter how you know, corny it is, but it has been. You have said there's a backlash building. Do you see that happening? And what evidence do you have of that? I mean, that everyday people who don't live in this world, that they can see and kind of maybe have as like some hope.
You know, right there, an evidence-based question, and I will give you an evidence-based answer. Yesterday, there was a letter written by 150 liberals that said, well, maybe cancellation culture isn't a great idea. And of course, some backtracked. But guys who are not completely on the left, who actually have something to lose, that liberal establishment are saying, wait a minute, we're riding this tiger. If it throws us, they're going to eat us. And remember, a lot of the people getting canceled are liberal, because a lot of conservatives are just like, you know, pop up the fingers and say, read between the lines. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We can fight back. And so much of this is an information operation designed to show us that we are losing, that we are things are out of control. We can't control anything. You read those polls, and I thought you went over it brilliantly. Why should we believe the polls that the same mainstream media that lied about Mount Rushmore said it was dark and divisive and embraced Confederates? You know, it's like they all got the same memo, which, in fact, I believe they did. If they will lie about that to our faces, when with a couple keystrokes, we can go listen to the thing ourselves and see it's not true, as Andrew Breitbart pointed out, you know, the gatekeepers are gatekeeping where there is no wall anymore. If they will lie about that, they will lie about the polls actively and aggressively. I don't believe it. Here's the test I use. I know a number of people who did not vote for Trump in 2016 who are saying, yeah, I need to. And maybe they have reservations or not. I know zero people who have said, I voted for Trump, but now I want that gropey old weirdo who lives in a basement, because I think he's the answer to the question, you know, that nobody asked. And I tell that story on a lot of shows. I've been doing a lot of media for the book. Everybody mm-hmm. get the book. Okay, marketing guys, I mentioned the book. Now will you release my family?
It's 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and
but,
You.
But I have yet to hear anyone tell me or any host say, yeah, I've heard of someone saying, you know, I'm going the other way. I was for Trump, and now I'm for Biden. Except those never Trump sissies who don't have anything better to do than, you know, nostalgia about their cruises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, except those guys, and they're using the money for their firm and their board. The book is The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You. You guys need this because you need to know this information, especially as Kurt said, this is an information operation. You need to be able to push back. Kurt Schlichter at Kurt Schlichter on Twitter. Always a pleasure. Congrats on the book.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Dana.
Always good to see you, my friend. Take care. God bless.
Thank you very much. You too. Say hi to Chris.
Will do. Will do. Thank you, sir.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
DanaLash.com. At DLash on Twitter, official DanaLash on Facebook. I'll have some more content coming up at the website for you. You don't want to miss it. All right, today in stupidity.
All right, it is Al Franken. We haven't heard from him in
quite a
while. Yeah, apparently he's around and he's still accusing people of what Democrats.
The human version of coronavirus.
Which is crazy.
Okay.
Even COVID. Wuhan. All right, this is Al Franken.
But they're going to do everything they can to suppress votes.
Suppress votes.
And finally, if it's a close election, he may not leave.
Well,
this is so dumb.
It is super dumb, because what happened in 2016 when Trump won, and we're still hearing the whining about Trump winning. So yeah, sure.
Yeah, well,
sure thing, Al.
There you have it. All right, folks, that does it for us this afternoon. DanaLash.com. I'll have new content up there for you as well. Find me on Facebook, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Have a wonderful night. Back with you tomorrow.